Again, we're in this deal here. We're, you know, you guys are old, and you've spent a lot of time in Egypt, and you've spent a whole lot of time in the wilderness, and you've been in Kadesh Barnea a whole long time. And we're not going to stay there anymore. And the distance between where we are now and in Jerusalem is a little. And there's no excuses anymore for us. If we can't and are not living by the power of God and by the resurrection, then you know, we've had it. Now, there's a little time, there's a little bit of time here whereby you have what you have a covering. And the covering does a lot of stuff. The covering does things like you can make all kinds of mistakes, and if somebody that's under your covering sees that you're making a mistake, then he will run to your covering. I mean, you know, I'm thinking of Buck.
I couldn't have guessed that.
I mean, little tattletale kind of stuff.
But the idea of the covering is it's not a place where you, if you're not in trouble, you think the covering is odious. In other words, you think that it's something that you have to.
Oh, it's like a constraint.
Yeah. Because you secretly believe the covering is out to do you harm and doesn't have your best interests at heart. And, you're kind of afraid of the covering. And, of course, none of you know what that means, but. When your senses have been exercised to discern soul from spirit, then the covering is no longer available. And the availability of the covering could come from death, or could come from leaving or moving or going someplace else. Or the point is that you reach a point where you've gone beyond the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, and you've moved on to completion or perfection or being fully tested. And that place is called the New Jerusalem, and that's your permanent residence. And, you know, we as a group, we as a body, we as a people are not in a position any longer where you can be as men. We see that we're simply in a place passing through, but in that passing through we see that we can't become entangled with the things of the world. We can't become entangled with... We are literally in the same way as guerrilla warfare. And we are in a position which is the ultimate of guerrilla warfare. And you recruit only from the poor and needy, the same way that guerrilla warfare does. And you don't look any different from the populace. But in truth, you're totally different from the populace. You don't buy any of the systems. You don't buy any of the values of whatever culture that you've been attendant to. You make no alliances with the extant culture. You always keep in mind you have a singular mission, which may, it's totally different from the people around you. You have efficacy from an outside source. You have resources that no one knows are available to you. There's, if they could see who you were, they would kill you and think they're doing a good deed for the government, for the country, or for the culture. Mike, do you understand me?
Yeah.
Now, the weapons of this warfare that we are involved with are not carnal. The resources that we have to use for this warfare are not have nothing similar with anybody else. That's what Christianity is. From the standpoint of where we are, it's ever and always been guerrilla warfare. Not to do something with regard to change from one sensory system to another sensory system. But our guerrilla warfare is, and our end objective is so totally wild that it just seems incomprehensible. Now we penetrate a society. Doesn't matter what society, doesn't matter what, there's no such thing from our standpoint as a good system, and there's no such thing as a bad system. They're just an arena. But our system of thought, our system of action, our system of being is totally and completely different. And our end objective is the ultimate danger to every person and being on the face of the earth. Because our objective is to bring an end to time. Now you've spent long enough, speaking to the stealth group, you've spent long enough in basic training. Now you've been sent out to penetrate. Now there's going to be, using warfare symbology, there's going to be advance parties that go before you. There's going to be hit and run activities. There's going to be psychological warfare.
Well, that's what happened. I got hit and run.
Only if you were the enemy.
Run over if you want.
You understand me? To the human race, this is the most dangerous group on the face of the planet today. Until you understand that, you're going to be deceived at every juncture, because you'll start favoring the things of men. You understand it? From now on, I don't care a great deal about your little stuff. I don't care about your little opinions and your little ideas. I care about one thing. And that is that the glory of God would fill your temple. way for the glory of God to fill your temple is when everything else from it is emptied out. Now this to me is not philosophy or religion, because on two different occasions I experienced fully the glory of the Lord filling the temple. I've experienced where we're going, what our end objective is. It's joy unspeakable. It's love incomprehensible. It's peace beyond understanding. It's warmth. And all good things. It's called the glory of God. Now, anything that's an enemy of that, I'm an enemy of. Biggest enemy of the glory of God for where we are right now is lepers. Your rebellion against the brethren, your rebellion against God. Tolerable anymore. It's not tolerable. It's not tolerable either.
No, it's intolerable.
That's true. It's one of those. Multiple choice. You start out, and from one side of your mind, you look at the cloud, and it's doubt and it's confusion. But you look at it on the other side, and it's the glory of God. From one side, it's, oh my God, I've been hit by a steamroller. On the other side, it's perfect peace. It's the same cloud. But until you recognize that you are in a state of guerrilla warfare, hidden, an enemy of every idolatry, every idea, every opinion in time, and everything I say to you will be, oh shit. Until you can begin to look with a single eye, and nothing in the universe, nobody's feelings, nobody's life, nobody's anything can interrupt that singleness. You're still in training. It is warfare. But the mystery of the warfare is you have to defeat the evil one first. Once he's defeated, everything else is duck soup. Now, I told Denise today, she was all concerned righteously about somebody, and I said, Denise, do you have any idea how many people's lives I've fucked up? And all of a sudden, she got unsincere. Now, the mystery of this warfare is that there is absolutely no place for anger in it.
It's a nice one.
exactly.
What?
I know exactly what that is.
I used to get in a fight. I used to fight all the time when I was a little kid. Well, not so little. And I would always get beat up. And then I'd sit around and spend the next few hours after getting beat up.
Mark Frick.
Mark Frick started the Vietnam War.
Oh, yeah.
Put a Halo monster in your shorts?
No. He was the commander of the gunship and the shot for the Gulf that finally caused the Gulf of Tonkin resolution to be made. Anyway. But Mark always beat me up. And so what I'd do then is I'd get so mad that I would and I'd sit and I'd think about all the things that I did wrong and how I could do it better. The next time, I'm going to do this. Well, I did this the next time, but he did that. But the point of it was, I was always mad when I was in a fight. And anytime you're mad in a fight,
okay.
Somebody that knows what they're doing is going to wipe you out. You understand? Because if you're mad, you'll respond rather than with clarity, you'll respond by emotion. Now, anger is simply, I've told you this for 10 years or 11 or however many, I forgot how long you've been here, whatever, too long.
27.
Anger is simply reveals an arena where you still have a right that you haven't given up. Therefore, what it truly reveals is a place in which you have an alliance with the enemy. You believe me?
Yeah. That's how he gets you.
Now, from now on, if you have the slightest teeny weeny bit of an alliance, you'll take the whole land back and you're gone. There are no alliances allowed. There is no justification for the alliance. Every one of your alliances has as its center chord sincerity. All of anger does. That's why anger in that kind of instance is a blessing, because it reveals that arena, that cord that has to be cut, that cord, that tie that you have, which will sink the whole ship, you'll be a spy for the wrong side, and you'll do it automatically. You understand me?
Yeah. That's wrong. It's like your senses will be picking up stuff to be used against the truth or something.
And you will use it against the truth automatically. And so you will be the perfect spy, because you won't know you're a spy.
Maturing candidate.
Amen.
Yeah.
You don't know you're the spy, therefore you are a perfect spy. And you will defeat, no matter how righteous your intentions are. That's why I come higher. You've probably been here long enough to know what I think about sincerity. But the reason is that sincerity is the instrument by which you are a enemy spy without you knowing you're being one.
Oh, I just...
Can't do that.
This is something that happened recently. I was thinking in terms of people, like you said, whose lives you've screwed up or something like that. And I was thinking of people that I never expected to hear from. From Jimmy Sharp. We got a card from Mike Sofranik. There's a guy I never expected.
I don't know who that is.
He's the guy, our first
Cutco
Bible study
person.
Sold knives, Cutco knives.
He was a dental student.
I never met him.
Short.
I never met him. I didn't know him.
He came from Boston.
Yeah.
He's our initial person. But I was thinking, and the idea, to hear from, it's like, those kinds of things. I mean, nothing might come of any of this, but it's out of our hands, and it's in somebody who's in control,
right,
hands. And even though, it's the fact that I don't, it doesn't make any difference, is the only way that, it's the best way, the only way you can be concerned is to...
You have to come to an understanding that they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. If you don't know that, you'll get deceived every other instant. They speak of the world, therefore they are of the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And it doesn't matter whether or not you're at fault. That is the biggest thing you have got to learn. You can screw up from now until hell freezes over with regard to your arenas, your group, the people that you're involved with. It doesn't matter. You can make every mistake. You can say it the wrong way. You cannot have anything to say. It doesn't matter. The seed has fallen into the ground. Its result is inexorable. That's what apostle is. Am I communicating? Mm-hmm. If you don't believe it, look at me. Tell me a mistake I haven't made. We studied in Bananas last night the idea that there are several places in the book of Psalms and in the scriptures where it says that he is praying to the God of Jacob. Thank God that he's praying to the God of Jacob. If he was praying to the God of Israel, I'd be wiped out. The God of Jacob is the God of Jacob, who was a conniver from his youth, who did everything wrong. But he was always God to Jacob. You understand? Can't screw up. That's the gospel. The only way you can screw up, according to the scriptures, is by leaving. Now, some of you have done that, haven't you? Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, just replace that with gorilla. Soldier doesn't communicate. Gorilla. Terrorist.
Banshee.
Except the weapons of your warfare are far more dangerous than anything that human beings could ever create.
What are those weapons? Oh, annihilated. Bruce Lee. Spiritual shrapnel. Spiritual nunchucks. Nunchucks. Spiritual poison in the water supply.
How the hell did I get on this? I wasn't going to talk about this.
What did you just quote from? 2 Timothy?
2 Timothy.
What?
2.
All it needs is don't stop short and I'll pick up the soap. You drop your wallet, lean against the wall.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and put and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, your only weapon. Is your mouth.
The only offensive thing in that list is the Spirit.
And if you look at it and see the references in the Old Testament, it just says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is all those things.
It's a battle suit.
But you must avoid entanglements, even with your family. They that are married, be as though you are not married. If you once give breath to the marriage in the spirit, you're divorced. If you once try to protect any part of you or yours, then you've lost. Amen? You must abandon your own interests. Every element, every righteous interest, every sincere interest. Abandon yourself. You must endure hardship, but it won't seem like hardship. We studied last night in Psalm 84 that blessed is the man whose trust is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of thee, who passing through the valley of Baca seeth the well, and the showers will then cover him. No matter what position you're in from the senses, you find the well. The moment you find the well of the spirit, there. And God does this dumb thing. You don't need it anymore, but he comes along and rains abundant revelation on you. To whom he has given, he shall give much more. But if you don't find the well in the valley of weeping, then that which you have will be taken away from you. Capisce?
Let's see.
Penetrate the society. Recruit from the poor and needy. Always keep in mind the poor and needy. No entanglements with the world. No home. No career. No life. Save loving your neighbor as yourself. Who in the world would think that's warfare? Who in the world would think that you're cleansed from leprosy when you've got it from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet? Because you're a threat. Your very presence is a threat to everything on the face of the earth. As I keep telling Harry, when I can no longer put a trip on you, then no one in the universe will be able to put a trip on you. It's my job. It's what a good drill instructor does.
Everybody hates
me. That's why it says, let not many of you be teachers, because in many things you shall offend all. Got it?
Got it.
1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12.
1:12.
And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now what it says is he did it without law. Now, you're continuing up to this point with the mind of a Gentile, responding to stimulus and the vanity of your mind. It's because you did it without law. You did it ignorantly. You've always and ever, from that, you've been a blasphemer because you've denied the finishedness. You always think there's something left to do, but you did it ignorantly because you did it without law. Well, now you can't do that anymore, because he has enabled. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The only place, and that's a positional statement, The only place that God's faith is, and the faith of God, and the faith and the love of God is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, if you're the chief of sinners, that means in your mind you know that there is nothing that anyone has ever done on the face of the earth for which you haven't done worse. If you're the chief of sinners, then you know, first of all, you have been on the run all your life. You've been alone. Now you've been caught. The penalty for the chief of sinners. There's 46 things that you can do in the law for which the death penalty is. Let me assure you, without going through them all tonight, that you have done every one of them. Now the death penalty, if it hasn't been experientially realized in you, it will be tonight. And if he isn't resurrected, then you will remain dead. And if the God of this universe is resurrected, then your mind has to come to an understanding. That is, if you continue to attempt to be God's counselor, you'll be twice dead. You understand me? If you continue to try to consider your life is now the God of the universe. He doesn't need your conscious help. If you continue to plan and scheme your life, you'll be twice dead. Because God doesn't want any counselors. Watch. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now that pattern can't be historical. Now those of you who are teaching, now you must be the pattern. If you're the chief of sinners, you will never again expect or even desire justice. And therefore, you will find out when that penetrates those thick skulls that when you no longer desire justice, you will find that being angry is impossible. So we all come back. The root cause of all this bullshit is because you secretly desire justice. Now, do you all know that you are the chief of sinners? What's your response if I say something, you know it?
Amen.
Is it amen?
Amen.
You know what amen means?
So be it.
You know what so be it means? That in the mouth of this, that you and I have agreed as touching, that you never again have the right to expect justice. Now you can be poured out wine and broken bread. Now you can love your neighbor as yourself.
As the chief of sinners, you don't want justice.
That's true. Good point. In verse 17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, son whoever. According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. There's a lot of war stuff in here. That thou mightest war a good warfare. That means a completed, successful warfare. In order to be successful, you cannot any longer be entangled with the enemy.
Yeah, there's warfare because we're entering the land. Amen. It's a place where that you have to...
Amen, amen, amen.
Wow.
Holding faith and a good conscience. Now, why is your conscience good? Because it has been emptied, purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not some stupid little, oh, God's talking to me. It's emptied. Holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made a shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now the only way that they could have blasphemed, according to the doctrine that Paul taught, was that they denied the finishedness. Therefore what they did, they said the resurrection was past. You got it? He did it to a couple others. In another one of his books here, he said he denied, you know, they denied the resurrection was past. But the point of this, you will deny the resurrection is past, or you will say the resurrection is past, excuse me, whenever you are in a position where you desire your lot to be changed. And when you are in that state of being, that which you teach will be apostasy. Simple. It's the simplest of all simplicity. I have espoused you to one husband, let nothing confuse you, as the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Now go forth and penetrate the society. Recruit from the poor and needy, the widows and orphans. Why are they widows? Because they have no husband. The law, they've been divorced. Not whether or not they have some stupid husband or not. They're widows because they've been divorced from the law. How are you divorced from the law? Huh? The law died. How do you know it when you've been divorced from the law? How did you know it? Because you failed.
Yeah.
The The spiritual definition of a widow is one who has failed. Who's an orphan? Doesn't matter whether they're physical orphans or not. Some of the orphans are they got more fathers than they got all the father, the gods of their fathers. The orphan is the one who has rejected his father and the gods of his father. And that's where you recruit the poor and needy, the widows and the orphans. Because if you try to recruit in anywhere else, you'll be casting your pearl before the swine. And the only reason you'll be doing it is because you don't believe. And you'll need someone, you'll need a recruit to convince you that your unbelief is valid. You penetrate the society. You recruit from the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans. You have no entanglements with the society. You have no career save to love your neighbor as yourself. Because that's the only way the poor and the needy will be recruited. You understand me?
Yeah.
Everybody that isn't a widow, an orphan, a poor, or a needy will reject you. I guarantee you. And don't waste your time arguing about words or the meaning of words. Don't, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you can forget your fucking concordances. Throw them out. The only reason I spent so much time in the concordance is because I had an inquisitor in the body. No, that's not true.
You can give up to me if you need a problem.
But my point is, you are the concordance. You are the letter. You are the life.
What's already
amen. Right. You have no entanglements with family, with friends, with career, with home. You're much more than a pilgrim now. You're a pilgrim in the wilderness. When you entered the land, you became a terrorist. You understand me?
Yeah, the thing about the gates of hell not being able to withstand is a picture of this land, because they went up to these cities and ran up and down.
That's pretty good, huh?
You got an avid recording.
I speak for 2 hours, 10 years, and he says one little sense. He said, "That's good, John."
Hit him again.
Do you want justice in that?
The hits are now going to be harder. From now
no
on.
Kidding.
Put nails in that stick.
Harry's hot. He's got a heart on. Boy, is he hot. Never seen him this hot.
Harry looks a little like Yes or Harry fans.
Oh, you're going.
You understand? At first, we were aliens in a bizarre land. Here in Egypt. Then we became strangers in a strange land. Now we're terrorists.
Terrible. I like the terrorist now.
Yeah, it's better than gorilla.
Monkey. Gorilla warfare? Okay. I quit. I didn't want to talk. This is what I was going to talk about.
I can't wait when this gets partially repeated to a few parents or something.
I don't care.
Oh, I can't wait.